I have with me standing here somebody who's not wearing a green shirt, but that's okay, right?
That's correct.
Scott Spangler. Scott Spangler is an old friend, a colleague, and also a writer for Aviation for Women magazine, where he has helped me out on numerous projects, some really great cover stories. Thank you, Scott.
My pleasure.
In fact, one of my favorite cover stories was with a CNC engineer, and she's lifting up Lanka. Can you tell us a little bit about that story? That was a fun story to write, wasn't it?
Yeah, she was a young woman. She did all the CNC programming for the work down at American Champion Aircraft and would go through working with the engineers and the people in the shop and everything from instrument panels to new cowlings and the like. And when I was there, and it was a couple years ago, they were doing a program to turn the Blanca or the American Champion Scout into a one-person water bomber. They called the Aquabama.
The Aquabama. Okay, well, that was going to require some significant retooling, I would think.
Not really. They put a removable, and I don't remember how big it was. It was like a 50-gallon tank in the back seat with a water control chute and the like. And when I was there, they were working on the final tweaks on the dump valve for the water tank.
Well, you got to... Well, right. It's not a water bomber if you can't get rid of the water.
That's right.
Another one of my favorites that you did were the Cozy Girls. Do you remember that story?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. They were a great group, and it was a thing. They started out buying or building an airplane, a Cozy, and ended up making a lot of the parts for it that they still sell, and they've become the de facto Cozy experts. Interesting, fun women to be around with. Just dedicated aviation to the core.
Well, there were a lot of pictures of parts, but there was also a picture of a parrot that we ran.
Yeah, they have a pet parrot who I never got closer to than arm's reach because that bill looked pretty sharp. But it was kind of interesting. It had free reign of the house, and it would sit there on the engine that was going in their Cozy, which was kind of parked in their living room, which also served as... a parts bin across the wall. So, interesting that one of the women, and I'm afraid I can't remember the name, she built her own CNC machine.
Her own CNC machine,
yes.
Which means the machine itself with the computerized components, everything so that it would make whatever she wanted?
Yes. I mean, she did all the computer work and hooked up the servos to a small lathe and another mill that were making small parts. It's the most amazing thing I've ever seen.
I love it. That's what EAA is all about, is the kind of creativity that it takes to make your own CNC machine. And what's cool for me at Aviation for Women magazine is getting to tease out of the web of all the people that participate in EAA women. And the reason I do it is to create role models for other women. Because if you're going to complain about they're just women aren't interested, blah, 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 well, I don't buy that. I think women just don't see other women doing it, and therefore it never occurs to some of them that this is something that might be fun for them. What do you think?
Yeah, I would agree. During the school year, to maintain my social skills, I'm a substitute teacher. So I have a lot of access to middle school and high school students. And really, of both sexes, they're really not aware of what aviation offers them. So, you know if the teacher I'm substituting for doesn't leave me enough, I have a whole bag full of aviation-themed projects, whether it's be language arts or math or social studies, that I use as the lesson for the day, which leads to a very interesting conversation with the students about all the opportunities that aviation offers.
Well, that's a wonderful thing, which makes you a real advocate for aviation in all of its forms, because as we know, if you catch them in middle school, you might make a difference.
Yes, and it's really nice, and here in, I live in Amro, which is 10 miles west of town, that the principal of the high school is a brand new private pilot, and he just started an aviation club at the high school there, which I also work with them, and they are in the process of building I believe, a Twitter ace that EAA founder Paul Poberesny gave them the plans for. So I've been working with them. So it'll take multiple years for them to get this through. So I've been trying to recruit some of the middle school students that I work with into the club so we have that continuity to get the junior ace built.
Exactly, because if you get them in middle school, you've got a few years. You got maybe 5 or 6 years to work with them, as opposed to high school where you really only have 3 or 4.
Yeah, that's right.
Well, we are watching the crowds by the Dreamliner. Scott, have you had a chance to go in this yet?
Not in the Dreamliner, no. But actually, I want to check it out because I did do a story when they were having trouble with their in-flight entertainment system. They wanted to do a wireless system that ran into some frequency problems in other parts of the world and ended up going with a fiber optic system, I believe, for their in-flight entertainment system in the seat backs. So what was interesting, at least when I did the story a couple years ago, it saved them about 800 pounds by going from wireless to fiber optic.
Okay, so how do you save weight going from wireless to fiber optic?
Well, with the wireless system, is they explained it to me that they have several nodes in the equipment that distribute the wireless, the Wi-Fi signal, where all of these, they had 4 or 5 of them placed at different parts of the cabin, plus the other boxes that fed it. So when they took all that stuff out and just replaced it with a little fiber optic thing that connected into each seat by the chair rails they put them in, it saved all that weight because the small strand of fiber optic weighed, nothing to these boxes that all have to be mounted with structures that can, meet all the certification requirements.
Yeah, well, so that's one of those situations where you got to think it through, and then you got to think it through, and then you might even still have everything ready to go and realize, we need a plan B or a plan C. That's experimental aviation. Now, I have to say, I chuckled when this airplane pulled up because right over the door in the regulated spot are the words, I would say right over the front doors are the words, experimental, which lets you know that this is, in fact, not a certified airplane yet.
Yep. I'd be curious to know if the letter height is the same one as they require on amateur-built experimental aircraft, which I think is a 3-inch letter height.
Well, the good news is you're tall enough. You could probably get up there and you could measure it.
Yeah, if I make a tour through, I can reach up there and kind of gauge it.
Yeah.
So
there you go. I'm going to let you go because I know that they're starting the tours for the media here momentarily, and just deeply appreciate the time that you took to come over here and talk to us today at EAA Radio.
You're always good talking to you, Amy.
Always good talking to you, too. That was Scott Spangler. He is a freelance journalist. Scott, is there a place where people can reach you if they want to talk to you about ideas?
Yes. My main location, I write for jetwine.com. I'm the new editor there because the...
Congratulations!
And I'll... for the Whitman Airport blog, but Jetwine is the easiest way to get to me, and people can reach me at scott@jetwine.com.
scott@jetwine.com. Scott, thanks so much for taking the time to come over today. We're still live at ConocoPhillips Plaza, and I'm going to take a quick walk around because I want to get up a little closer and tell you a little bit more about this airplane since you're not out here with me. If you have the chance, you need to come over to ConocoPhillips and take a look at this brand new shiny airplane. These Rolls-Royce engines are just astonishing. I have to tell you that I was amazed when this airplane landed because it was so quiet. As big as these engines are, I'm telling you, two of me could stand inside of these Rolls-Royce engines and I still probably wouldn't touch side to side. It's beautiful. Even when it stopped, it wasn't loud. Another difference that I noticed right away when I go to the back of the engine is that it's got some scalloping on the tail, on the edge of the cowling. And I don't really know what that is. So I'm going to have to check in with some of my engineer friends who have a part in this and ask them. One other thing you've got to do if you have a chance is you've got to go over and take a look at the landing gear. This is one of the few times that you can get up close and really see the how massive the joints are, how massive these wheels are, and it will leave you with a lot of respect for the pilots that are flying this and making smooth landings with it. I'm walking out to the wingtip and just admiring the underside with the like, gosh, tens of access panels here, the flap system. It's just so perfect. I mean, they've polished it up. They've really made it ready for prime time, it looks like. And hopefully, they are getting it ready to deliver this fall. That's what everybody wants to see. There is one peculiar item, again, that I'm going to go ask my engineering friends about. Hanging off tail. Go back to the very, very tip of the tail and look up. There's a little drogue chute. That I saw. It almost looks like a probe. It reminds me of almost a plankton net that we used to use when we were doing biology out in the Gulf of Mexico. We'd throw out there a conical piece and drag it in the water and catch things. I don't know what they're trying to catch with that, but I did notice it as it came by on its low pass on the way in. And it was just marvelous to see it go by, but I have to tell you that it was as quiet as the stealth bomber, or almost, when it came by and it did its low pass. So we are out here at ConocoPhillips Plaza, and it is a bright blue, sunny, gorgeous day. We are just getting ready to wind down this radio show, but we're going to go back out and we're going to find somebody else to talk to and see what they think about the airplane. Excuse me, can you tell me, what do you think of the airplane?
The Dreamliner?
Yeah, the Dreamliner.
It looks pretty good the way it is, but I can't understand why over these years they haven't got it going yet.
You think it's taken a while, huh?
Yeah, because it's so much radically different than all aluminum aircraft. You know, it's carbon fiber, and it's supposed to be stronger, but it's harder to work with.
That's for sure. Are you going to take the time to see if you can take the tour?
No, I ain't going to. Are they going to tour people?
Yeah.
What's it going to cost?
Nothing but your time to stand in line.
I ain't going to stand in line. That line over there is about 2 miles long.
Okay. Can you tell me where you're from?
Oklahoma.
Oklahoma, and you came way up here, not just for this, I take it.
I'm a home builder for years. I've been building 5 or 6 aircraft, and now I'm not flying one because my health won't let me. The FAA won't let me give me a health certificate.
Have you thought about the light sports?
I have. I built the light sport, and I'm flying it.
There you go. What did you build?
Protac 2, and you probably wouldn't know what that is.
Yeah, well, tell me.
It's a side high wing. And it's fabric, and it's got a Lycoming 235 in it, and it's not like my other airplane. I used to fly up here all the time.
What was that?
That was RV-8.
Oh, now see, an RV-8 is a nice airplane, but I got to tell you, I have a Kit Fox 4, and it and empty weight on it is 600 pounds, gross weight on it is pounds. You know which one I'm talking about. It sounds a lot like your little light sport.
It's pretty close. I've got a lot of things that they've the way they built that, I put it in my airplane, my RV, my Protac 2. So yeah, that's true. It's in a safe aircraft, and it doesn't take much effort to get it in the air and go and do this and that.
And that's absolutely true. And I've had, you know, the kind of minor problems like the brake and things like that, and even that is a minor problem if you handle it well.
That's right. It wouldn't bother you a bit. Just slow you down on landing.
Yeah, you definitely know that you're not going to taxi it back off the grass and into the hangar.
Yeah, that's right.
Most definitely. No, we doubled ours up finally and then tripled it up the third time that it did it, because it just, you know, you got to get it strong.
Well, yeah, the only problem is, you know, you keep modifying the nests, get more strength in it, adding a lot of weight to them, and that affects how efficient the airplane flies.
Well, that would be true, except for I'm still only at 600 pounds empty.
That's pretty good. If you can keep it down, do things like that and keep the weight down, you're all right. Yeah.
I don't have any instruments up front. That really makes a difference for me, I think. So thank you very much for taking the time to talk to us on EA Radio. Now, what's your name from Oklahoma?
Mark Landall, and it's a pleasure to be able to talk to you here in Wisconsin. And my wife is Kathy here, and she helps me build my airplane since she flies with me all the time.
Kathy, do you like this new little airplane he's got?
Yes, I do. I haven't flown in it yet, but I will eventually.
Terrific. Did you help him get it put together then?
This one I didn't.
Yeah? Oh, but look at this. She's got a great, great T-shirt. The Ultralight Pilot. I love it. I love it. Did you get that here?
I did many years ago.
Terrific, terrific. Well, Kathy and
Mark,
have a wonderful, wonderful stay here the rest of the week. Thank you for taking the time to talk to EAA Radio.
This is about his 45th, 48th time to come to the fly-in.
48 times at the fly-in? So you've been to the fly-in not just here. Where else?
At Rockford, Illinois, when it first started.
Rockford, Illinois, where it first started. That's terrific. Okay. Thank you.